Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nittai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada.
Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sharashate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshatarine. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So, actually the seminar is starting from today. So, this class is a part of the seminar. We'll have three classes every day. Morning Bhagavatam class will be a part of the seminar. Then in the late morning, after breakfast, there'll be the second session, which is, you can say the second session, from 11 to 1. And then there'll be lunch. And then again, the next session will be from 4 to 6. So, the topic, there may be a little confusion because initially I thought of having three different classes. I think initially the idea was Bhagavatam class in the morning and the topic would be the prayers of Queen Kunti. Then the next session will be Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya. And then the evening session would be Chaitanya Leela. Yeah. But then some devotees started to tell me that three different topics for one seminar may not be so appropriate. Better to stick to one topic. And then I started to consider that Prabhupada, the founder Acharya, it cannot be the main topic, and I mean to carry on for 9 sessions may not be so appropriate for many individuals who are not really that not so much involved in the management of ISKCON. So they may find it little difficult to comprehend. And Chaitanya Leela, I thought, now we are left with two choices: Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna. And I thought that maybe first we deal with Krishna and then we'll go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one consideration came up, like philosophy or story. And as I have mentioned earlier in many occasions, that I noticed that when I speak on philosophy, many devotees fall asleep. But when I tell stories, then everybody wakes up. So I thought, at least to keep everyone awake, better I go into stories. And so we thought of the stories from Srimad Bhagavatam. Not only just Krishna's pastimes. Actually, Bhagavatam is presentation through stories. The most profound philosophy has been presented through stories. And these stories are not really stories. They are his stories. They're factual happenings. What is the difference between history and story? Story can be fictitious, but history is factual. The activities of some exalted personalities, mainly the kings, compile the history of this world. And also another consideration was that the Vedas are flowing in two different streams, the essence, the knowledge of the Vedas. One stream is the Upanishad stream and the other is the Puran stream. Upanishad is mostly philosophical. Upanishad is mostly philosophy, whereas Purans are actually stories. As I said, his story. Again, the Vedas also have history, the Vedic history. But then there is also the Puran. The history is called Itihas and Puran. The difference between Itihas and Puran is that Itihas is history, is chronological, whereas Puran is not chronological. Purans are mostly thematical. Wherever certain anecdote, certain happening is relevant to certain topic, then it has been presented. Like you will notice in Srimad Bhagavatam, when you read, like it goes into zigzag fashion. Like Bhagavatam starts and Naimisharanya and Suta Goswami coming, and he is asked to give them the proper understanding how to overcome the influence of the age of Kali. And then Parikshit Maharaj's incidents come in. Sukadev Goswami. And then it goes to Bhishma Dev instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj. Then Krishna leaving the planet. Then Vidura meeting Maitreya Rishi. Then Maitreya Rishi starts to nap. Vidura is questioning, Maitreya Rishi is answering. And then it goes on to say the creation. Brahma's appearance, Brahma's sons. And then briefly there is a description of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, their birth. And then it goes on to Manu and Shatarupa. And Manu Shatarupa to is going into like you can see, like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha's anecdote was before, but that is coming much afterwards. And it goes to the descriptions of Dhruva Maharaj. Now prior to that, Kapil Muni. Then from Kapil Muni it is going to... Anyway, so this is how we see, in kind of in a juxtaposition, these descriptions are, or anecdotes are coming in. So anyway, so this is the general consideration of the Puran. The Purans are not chronological, whereas Itihash is chronological. Like one king after another king, and then it goes on. Mahabharata is Itihash. But there are 18 Purans. There are 18 Purans, and those Purans are in three different modes. There are 6 Purans in the mode of ignorance, dealing with the mode of ignorance. 6 Purans dealing with the mode of passion. And then 6 Purans dealing with mode of goodness, and eventually it's taking to the mode of pure goodness. So the Puran that is in the mode of pure goodness, that means beyond this material nature, is Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Puran. So anyway, so Bhagavat is the essence of all the Puranas, and that is what is being presented here. That this verse that we have selected, what is Srimad Bhagavatam? The Bhagavatam has been described as Nigama Kalpatarur Galitang Phalam Shuko Mukhad Amrita Drava Sangyutam Pivata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraha Rasika Bhubi Bhavuka. So this is the description of Srimad Bhagavatam. So first is the invocation. The first verse is Janmadasya Jataha. Now the second verse is actually describing the qualification of entering into Srimad Bhagavatam topic. Bhagavatam topic is not meant for anyone and everyone. Bhagavatam topic is meant for very, very exalted personalities. That qualification has been described. So that's why today actually we are discussing with verse 3, 1, 1, 3. But tomorrow we'll discuss about 1, 1, 2. So here also I'll go thematically, according to the relevance of the topics. The verses I'll select. The purpose of this is just to give you all a basic understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in a way, it is going to be a Bhagavat Saptaha. 1 week, for 1 week we'll discuss about Srimad Bhagavatam. And we'll try to give you all a general understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. Here also I'll also consider one thing that often I noticed, because we just read one verse a day, in most cases we don't get to see the proper picture of the chapters and Srimad Bhagavatam. And in a way it is nice, devotees are getting a practice to give classes and all, but one thing we are missing out, that is we have to get a proper picture, and that is why I thought there is a need of taking one whole week to discuss about this topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. And at least I'll try to give you a total picture of what Srimad Bhagavatam is. Srimad Bhagavatam, so at one time I started a class dealing with the full chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam one day, one chapter, giving a clear understanding of what this chapter is describing. Anyway, so I'm just telling you certain objectives that I have about these classes and of this seminar or the retreat. So did you retreat from your normal lifestyle? Are you ready to retreat? Are you missing home? How many of you are missing your home? And how many of you found your new home? Very good. So so be comfortable. One thing also, generally people think that the Vedic understanding is austere. But no, the spiritual life is not austere. Spiritual life, real spiritual life, is susukham kartum abhayam, is happily executed. Real spiritual life is happily executed. Be happy. Because if your mind is not peaceful, if your body is not comfortable, your mind will not be able to focus. But don't be too comfortable. Then, as I told you, you'll fall asleep. So don't fall asleep. Take rest when you're tired, but at least in the classes, stay awake. And take notes, because it's a class. It is not a recreation storytelling session. It's a class, so please take note. You'll see that, this taking notes will keep you focused. Taking notes will make you awake. Because when you're taking notes, you'll see you're automatically focused. And when you're focused, when you're listening, then the chances of falling asleep is very little. Although it is said that when Lord Ramchandra killed Kumbhakarna, who is to sleep for 6 months and wake up for one day, then again fall asleep. So you can see what a big shelter he was of Nidra Devi, meaning the goddess of sleep, a sleep personified. Now Ramchandra killed Kumbhakarna. So Nidra Devi was very sad. She lost her place of resting. So she went and told Ramchandra that now you killed Kumbhakarna, where shall I go? So then Ramchandra said, okay, wherever there will be discussion about Krishna Katha, you can go there. So if anyone is suffering from insomnia, then I will suggest that just go to the Bhagavad class, Bhagavatam class, and you will see how soon, how quickly, without making any effort, you can be cured of your insomnia. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naranchaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirai. Nashta Praishu Abhadreshu Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text 3. Nigama Kalpataror Golitam Phalam Shukamukhad Amrita Dravasanjutam Pivata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhubi Bhabukaha. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam shuka mukhad amrita drava sanjutam pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraha rasika bhubi bhabuka. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam shuka mukhad amrita drava sanjutam pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhurah rasika bhubi bhavuka. Mataji is? Nigama, the Vedic literatures. Kalpataru, the desire tree. Galitam, fully matured. Phalam, fruit. Sukha, Srila Sukadev Goswami, the original speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mukhat, from the lips of. Amrita, nectar, drava, semi-solid and soft and therefore easily swallowable. Sangyutam, perfect in all respects. Pivata, do relish. Bhagavatam, the book dealing in the science of eternal relation with the Lord. Rasam, juice, that which is relishable. Alayam, until liberation or even in a liberated condition. Muhu, always. Aho, O, Rasikaha, those who are full of knowledge, of mellows, Bhubi, on the earth, Bhavukaha, expert and thoughtful. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Shukadev Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. Please repeat after me. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadev Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the two previous shlokas, it has been definitely proved that the Srimad Bhagavatam is a sublime literature which surpasses all other Vedic scriptures due to its transcendental qualities. It is transcendental to all mundane activities and mundane knowledge. In this shloka, it is stated that Srimad Bhagavatam is not only a superior literature, but is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literatures. In other words, it is the cream of all Vedic knowledge. Considering all these, patient and submissive hearing is definitely essential. With great respect and attention, one should receive the message and lessons imparted by the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vedas are compared to the desire tree because they contain all things knowable by man. They deal with mundane necessities as well as spiritual realization. The Vedas contain regulated principles of knowledge covering social, political, religious, economic, military, medical, chemical, physical, and metaphysical subject matter, and all that may be necessary to keep the body and soul together. Above and beyond all these are specific directions for spiritual realization. Regulated knowledge involves a gradual raising of the living entity to the spiritual platform, and the highest spiritual realization is knowledge that the personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all spiritual tests or rasas. This has a very long purport, so we won't be able to cover all that. We'll just cover up to this part. So the Vedas have been compared to a desire tree. Nigama Kalpataru. The first two words are indicating that. Nigama. Nigama means the Vedic literatures. The Vedas have two aspects in that way, Agama and Nigama. And also Shruti and Smriti. The knowledge that is coming and the knowledge that is being given out. Like we receive the knowledge, we learn, and then we give out. Whatever we heard, it's kept in our memory. So Shruti, Shruti means hearing, and Smriti means remembering. So all knowledge is a matter of these two aspects. We receive the knowledge, and then we retain the knowledge, and then we impart the knowledge. So so that this, that's why one aspect of Veda is Agama. Agama means coming. The knowledge that, I'm sorry, it's been described as Nigama. Agama is coming like Agaman. Agaman means to come. And Nirgaman means to go out. So the root is Gam. Gam Dhatu. Like the Sanskrit words stem from some root. Always. That's how scientific the Vedas are. And so that's why the Vedas are the root of all knowledge. Even the Sanskrit language is the root of, the mother of all languages. I was just thinking, the word Gaman means to move or go, coming from Gam Dhatu. Now see, English word for that is go. You see the link? Gaman, coming from Gam, and from Gam the English word has been derived, go. I don't know, of course, where the word Kam has come from, but certain similarities we can see. Like in German, breathing, the word for breathing is Atmen. Einatmen, Ausatmen. Inhaling, exhaling. Now see the word, the link between breathing and Atma, the soul. The breathing is keeping the soul in the body. So keeping the soul in the body, Einatmen. And when the soul is trying to go out, Ausatmen. Inhaling and exhaling. So this way you can see how Sanskrit is the mother of all languages. Today's world may not want to accept it because it is dominated by the West. So they don't want to give credit to the East. They say West is the root of everything. Fossil is, their culture is fossil culture, machine culture. Life came from fossil. And today's world is accepting it. Like in Calcutta, there is a place called Science City. And you know what is the Science City? All dinosaurs. Now that has become the science. And that is also based on just one movie. Jurassic Park. I happen to have seen that movie. And what is the Jurassic Park? From fossil, they found the gene or whatever, and that they formed it into an egg, and from that egg, a dinosaur came out. So this is what they are trying to prove. Life comes from matter. But what is Prabhupada's challenge? Life comes from life. Everyone is seeing that. It is a living father and living mother that is giving birth to a living child. Has there any dead mother and dead father give birth to a living child? No. But that is what's going on in the name of science. Anyway, so it's unfortunate state of affairs, but what can be done? Like, we are stuck here, but it's a struggle to establish the reality, establish the fact. Like, everybody is seeing that, but still they cannot accept it. Why? Because the people have been taught that way. And people are like, generally mass is stupid. Whatever you tell them, they'll accept it. And the so-called scientists are just presenting all kinds of fictitious ideas, and is going on in the name of science. Life comes from matter. And Prabhupada's challenge is, life comes from life. And this challenge is so valid. Show me, Prabhupada used to ask, show me one instance when life has come from dead matter. Whereas you have all the examples, all the proofs that how life comes from life. But your thing is, and Prabhupada said, what to speak of life? Make a grain of rice in your laboratory. Just in your laboratory, create a seed of apple. And the seed will fall on the ground, and an apple tree will come out. Create something like that in your laboratory. You don't have to create a human being or a lion or a tiger or a cow. Just create one seed or a grain of rice in your laboratory. That grain of rice will fall on the ground and a tree will come out. In the tree, in that plant, there will be many, many rice. Right? Those rice will fall on the ground, other rice trees will come out. And in those rice plants there will be rice. And in those rice there is a tree. Create something like that. Show me. Now, just use your common sense. Will any scientist will ever be able to create something like that? No. So that is the difference between dead matter and a living being. Life comes from life. And that is what Vedas are very clearly pointing out. So now this Nigama, the Vedas are like a desire tree. What does a desire tree do? Do you know what a desire tree does? Desire tree can fulfill all your desires. Just you consider, you stand in front of a desire tree and say, desire tree, I want a big palace. immediately palace will appear. Desire tree, I want 1,000 gold coins. All this 1,000 gold coins will fall right in front of you. And not only that, desire tree, I want to be a king. All of a sudden you find yourself sitting on a throne. Now, is it possible? Yes, the Vedas never lie. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. So, the desire tree can fulfill all your desires. How does the Vedic desire tree do that? How does the Vedic desire tree do that? Vedic desire trees are asking you. Vedas are asking you, what do you want? What do you want? And you tell that, the Vedas will give the answer. Okay, do this. And that is called activities pertaining to the Vedic instructions. And they are called sacrifice. So that is what a desire tree does, the Vedic desire tree does. You want to become rich, very rich, perform these activities. You want to become a king, perform these activities. As you know, like if one wants to become the king of the entire earth planet, what should one do? Perform ashwamedh yajna. You'll become the king of the earth planet. So this is how the Vedas are giving the directions. Well, you want to enjoy by fulfilling various desires? Okay, go ahead, do it. And that comprises the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. But then there is Gyanakanda section of the Vedas. You have enjoyed so much, now you want to get out of here. You have enjoyed in this universe. You became the king of the earth planet, you became the king of the heavenly planet, you had so much enjoyment, you have gone through so much enjoyment, but now you say, well, this is not the right place where I want to be. I want to go back to the spiritual sky. So Vedas can give you the instruction of that also, how you can go back to the spiritual sky. So therefore, it is Vedas or Nigamas or Kalpataru. Now, Galitang Phalam. Galitang Phalam means ripened fruit. So, can you imagine the desire tree can fulfill all your desires? And the fruit of that tree? A tree that can fulfill all your desires, how wonderful will be the fruit of that tree. And not only that fruit has been mixed with the juice or the nectar from the lips of Sukadev Goswami, because he spoke that. So the Vedas are the desire tree. The ripened fruit of the desire tree or of Vedas is Srimad Bhagavatam. And that Srimad Bhagavatam has become even more relishable because it has been spoken by Srila Sukadev Goswami. Sukamukhad Amrita Dravasangyutam. Now, who drinks this juice or the nectar? Can anybody relish the nectar? In order to relish the nectar, you have to have the taste. So, that is the qualification, rasika. Rasika. Rasa means nectar or juice or mellow. And rasika means one who does know how to enjoy these rasas. Like rasagulla. Rasa. But in order to relish rasagulla, you have to be a healthy person. If you are sick, would you like to taste the rasagulla? Or especially if you have jaundice, will you be able to taste? No, it will taste bitter. So, in order to relish things, we have to have the ability to relish it. So that is those who have the ability, they are known as rasikas. Rasa, the one who knows how to enjoy the rasas, is rasikas. So who enjoy this wonderful mellow of Srimad Bhagavatam? The rasikas. How often? Is it only 5 minutes in the morning? Or, 45 minutes in the morning? No, muhu. Muhu means all the time, constantly. Constantly, all the time. Muhu raha rasika. Bhubi bhabuka. Those who are the thoughtful individuals in this world. So that is what we are going to discuss for next 7 days. So are you all ready for that? And I must thank you all, those of you who have come earlier to take part, because I was told that half of the participants did not arrive as yet. That's not a good sign. Like, do you go to a movie after interval? No. Do you attend your university classes in the middle of the semester? No. You have to do it from the beginning. Tomorrow also I'll mention that. Today I'm thanking you, tomorrow I'll blast those who came late. Because this is serious matter. It's the most important thing in this world. It's the most important thing that you are doing in your whole life. Why this is the most important thing? Because this is going to free you from the bondage of birth and death. This is what is going to free you from death. This is a process by which you can conquer death. Now tell me, what is more important? What is more important? What is most important? So that is how we have to accept it. Don't consider this to be a part-time recreation. 7 days a year, now is the Christmas holiday, let me go to Ujjain and have a good time. No. Come to Ujjain to have the best time in your life. And if it is the best time, then you should be here on time. And thank you all for being here on time. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Does anybody have any question? Okay, so, yeah. Yeah. The question is whether Kalpataru fulfills the spiritual desires also. What is Bhagavatam doing? Yes, it does. Whatever your desire, if your desires are material, it will fulfill that desire. But that desire is undesirable. What we should want is to fulfill our spiritual desires. Yes, Kirti Kumari.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, you mentioned that the Bhagavatam can fulfill all desires, and I've also heard that the Vaishnavas similarly also can are like desire trees.
Say it again.
I said, you mentioned, Guru Maharaj, that the Bhagavatam is like a desire tree,
yeah.
And we know or heard that the Vaishnavas as well are compared to desire trees. So isn't it that the Vaishnavas, on the other hand, do not fulfill the material desires, but yet only the spiritual desires? So
yeah, so Vaishnavas are more advanced desires.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, because Bhagavatam may fulfill your material desires, but Vaishnavas say don't ever desire anything material, because that will make you suffer. So because Kripa Sindhu, therefore he warns you, don't go towards suffering condition. Material desire means suffering. Whereas spiritual desires are nectarian. Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Here Bhadravalde Prabhu has a question. Here we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, and you kindly said that it is the most important thing in our life. So is it any different from, like, he actually wants to ask which is more important, chanting the holy name or hearing the Bhagavatam?
What is more important?
Which is more important?
Yeah, you read Bhagavatam and the Bhagavatam says chant the holy name. Okay. Okay, Madhavendra. Give the mic. Yeah, wait. Take the mic.
You said you're going to have a thematic approach to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Are you going to follow the 10 topics of the 10 topics? Atra Saga Visaga Chal.
Not in that way.
Okay. Mm.
But it's covering all these 10 topics. But or the 10 limbs of Mahapuran. As I said, we'll discuss the stories as it is coming in Srimad Bhagavatam. And we are not going into that aspect of, you know, creation, sub-creation, etc. Like, what is the basic understanding, what is the main or most important understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam? The most important understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are His eternal part and parcels. And the goal of our existence is to develop a loving relationship with Him. So these are the three most important considerations, and we'll try to stick to that. Through all each story, we'll see that how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna is our dearmost friend. When you take shelter of Him, Krishna will go out of His way to take care of us. So the objective is to develop our surrender to Krishna, devotion to Krishna. Yes? Take the...
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. What change will it make... What change?
Change.
Yeah. Will it make if scientists start believing that life comes from life?
The real scientists are already saying that. And when you listen, then your whole life changes. Right? You become surrendered to Krishna. Those who are real scientists, the devotees of Krishna are the real scientists. Right? Science means what? What is you're studying now, yeah? What are you studying? Take the
graduation from IIT Indore.
Graduation from?
IIT.
IIT Indore. Okay, very good. Okay. So what is science? Give me the definition of science.
In science we analyze things, quantify things.
Very good, very good. In science we analyze things, quantify things, for what?
Get some good results and apply it for...
To get some good result, okay, very good. So in a way we can say that science is an experimentally verified facts. The experimentally verified facts are science, right? Now you do experiments, and through the experiments you get the result, and that is how you establish the fact, right? That is science. And that is the difference between science and fiction, right? Now when we, as you asked, like, if the scientists accept that life comes from life. Now, doesn't it immediately prove that these so-called scientists are not scientists? Because where is their experimentally verified facts? They are saying life comes from matter. But has it ever been experimentally verified? Tell me. No. So those who are proposing that life comes from matter, are they scientists? Don't hesitate, tell them. I won't lump you in that category. Right. So now those who are saying life comes from life, aren't they the real scientists, because they are experimentally establishing that fact? So that's why my answer is that the real scientists have already established that fact, or accepted that fact. Life comes from life. And those who have accepted that fact, then what happens to them? Like, say for example, what do you accept today? Life comes from life, or life comes from matter? So you are a scientist? So you have accepted this science, as opposed to what you had the concept before? So did your life change? Didn't it change? How did it change? Today you are more surrendered to Krishna, right? So that's what happens. That's why those who are real scientists, they have the responsibility to establish this culture all over the world. Therefore, preach. Okay? Sure? Very good. Now that you have understood this, go and give it to others. To be an IIT student means you're the cream of Indian youth. So, become the real essence of, real cream of this society. Benefit the society by understanding this and distributing this. Okay? Thank you. So you have a question. He has a question. Let me see. Nahi, aap koi prashna hai? Aap haath uthaye the? Okay. तो बता दिया है ओके थैंक यू यू आर अ साइंटिस्ट ऑल्सो थोड़ा आप कौन सी ब्रांच का साइंटिस्ट है लाइफ कम्स फ्रॉम लाइफ और लाइफ कम्स फ्रॉम मैटर ओके ओके वेरी नाइस सो यू बिलीव दैट लाइफ कम्स फ्रॉम लाइफ
Knowledge of substance obtained by knowledge and
Okay. Yes. Very good. That's what I also said. Science is experimentally verified facts. Now, is it an honest statement that life comes from matter? Jada padat se jivan ka abhirbhav hota hai? Jad se jivan aata hai? Ya jivan se jivan aata hai? Jivan se jivan, huh? So you are a scientist also. Thank you. You are engineer in which department? Aap kaun si department ka engineer hai? Na, acha. Very good. Aap Ujjain mein rehte hain? Acha. Mandir mein aate hain? Regular aate hain? Oh. Very good. Very good. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So I'll okay, Jamuna Priya. Take the mic.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, in the purport, the paragraph that you read, the first paragraph, in the last two, three lines, it said that we should be patient and submissive while hearing, and that we should hear with respect and attention. Could you be so kind and maybe just say a little bit about the patient part of hearing?
Patient.
About being patient while hearing.
Yeah. You see, patient in the sense like, you know, while being attentive, you know, being patient to receive that knowledge properly. Right? Don't jump into a conclusion. Rather, wait for the real knowledge to come and reveal in your heart. And that's why it is so important to be patient. I will read it again. Considering all these, patient and submissive hearing, patient and submissive hearing is definitely essential. Like, you know, just consider the other way round. Impatient and unsubmissive hearing. Can you receive any knowledge? So that is the main. Okay. Okay, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande, Hare.